Good morning, everyone. You may be seated. Good to see you. So glad that you're here. And we welcome any that might be visiting with us this morning. As I look around, we're missing some people. I know where a few of them are, and I ask that you be in prayer for them, okay? And we've got some that are still out of town from the vacation and the spring break and so forth. But we're here, and I'm glad you're here. So we welcome you today. Let me share with you some announcements, if I could. First, about Olin Reed's funeral, okay? Olin passed away this week. Visitation is today here in the sanctuary from 1 to 1:30, and the service will start at 1:45. And so we invite you to come and show your support and pray for this family as they go through this time. Let me give you an update on Danny. If I could, he is taking some medication right now, and he will be taking it for the next 3 weeks, and it's making him somewhat sick, but the good news is that his blood cultures are good, his lab reports are good, and they're going to be moving him into rehab in the next day or so, okay? So we're excited about all that possibility. So glad to have Tim Millwood here with us this morning. A wonderful friend, and I know that you know him well, and he serves all of our churches in a tremendous way. Let me share with you a couple other announcements. Your bulletin is full of them, and they go on into May, but we're going to look at some that are more recent. We're having T-shirts made, an I Love My Church T-shirt with the name of the church on the back. If you have an interest in one of those, you can see Bob. Our Annie Armstrong Easter offering goal was $4,000. Now, the last that I saw, we were only a couple hundred dollars away from meeting that. Is that still right, Joe? Still a couple of hundred dollars short of our goal? Okay. So if you haven't given yet, it's still not too late. And I always tell people, you can give when you want to, and we'll get it to the source, okay? So I encourage you in that way. Today we're blessed in that we're having our Lord's Supper. Our WMU is meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the library. Wednesday is our day of prayer. We have our prayer meeting at 7:30 in the morning in the library, as well as 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall. Our children's activities on Wednesday are at 6:30. Next Saturday is our brotherhood, so we encourage you not to forget that. Put it on your phone, put it on your calendar that you won't forget. Next Sunday, deacons, we're meeting at 8:45, a slight change there, next Sunday morning. And also our ladies' Bible study begins next Sunday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Our women's tea, Maria, you have an announcement that you'd like to make.
Okay, Carla just wanted me to remind you guys that she still needs hostesses. For the tea, it's a 7th annual tea, and I have a sign-up list if you want to come see me, and I can give you some information about that. But she's really looking for to get some help and have tables for everybody. Okay, thanks. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that was quick. You're faster than Carla. that's good. That's good. Don't forget our salt shakers. That list is in your bulletin along with other announcements. Please take the time to look through your bulletin in that way. A new commandment I give you. As I have loved you, you must. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. John 13. There you go, 34 and 35. And we've looked at all of the one another's throughout the scripture. We're focusing in this morning on be patient with one another. Now, I don't know who it is in this congregation, but you do. And you do. So be patient with them, okay? Sometimes it's difficult, but be patient with one another. Our opening scripture this morning, Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Share that with me. For nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to ask that you remember that during the sermon today. I'll get you to say it again. For nothing is impossible with God. Jack, would you lead us in our opening prayer?
Father God, we come to you today just pray Amen. Last Sunday we celebrated Easter and the blood that Jesus shed for us. If you would, please stand with us and sing, "The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power."
To impart, you ask me how I know. Father, we come to you just at this time to ask you to take the offerings and the monies that are given today, Lord. I ask you to bless them to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
In remembrance of me, eat this bread. In remembrance of me, drink this wine. In remembrance of me, pray for the time when God's own will is done. In remembrance of me, heal the sick. And in remembrance of me, feed the poor. In remembrance of me, open the door and let your brother. And be comforted. Drink and remember too that this is my body and precious blood shed for you. Shed for you. In remembrance of me, search for truth, and in remembrance of me, always love. In remembrance of me, don't look above, but in your heart, search in your heart for God. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me.
Thank you, Maria. Invite you this morning to turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We'll be reading there in just a few minutes. It's amazing how tragedy can hit. If you look at the papers, look and listen to the news, it's quite amazing. Law enforcement officials are looking for two Kansas women at this time, Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. They went missing about a week ago. They were on their way to pick up children and they never arrived at the pickup location. Their car was left abandoned on the side of the road. Now, Jillian is the wife of Pastor Heath Kelly. She has four children. She runs the children's program at the church and serves as the church secretary. Missing. The latest report says we're unsure where these women are and what happened to them. Tragedy. It hits. This week, the barge hit the bridge in Baltimore. On the bridge were six workers. The bridge collapsed. They rescued two. They've recovered one body. I think that's the latest news I got. Tragedy hits. Every one of us have been impacted by tragedy to some degree, whether it's in illness or death or any of a thousand of other things that can happen. We've all experienced pain. In this passage that we're about to look at, we're going to find a father who's experiencing a tragic situation. That day, death showed up at the house of Jairus, and it had come for his 12-year-old daughter. His heart is broken, and he turns to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jairus found out that Jesus is more than enough in times of tragedy and in our times of need. I hope that each of us can understand that today. In our time of tragedy, in our time of need, and in all of life, we need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look more closely at this event as we see how Jesus intervenes. Again, it's Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. He said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. We're told that this man was a ruler of the synagogue. He's a man of position, a man of prominence, prestige, a man of privilege, a man of prosperity, a man of power, a man that was well known in the community. To look at him, you would say he was a man who had it all. But at this moment, none of it mattered. Sickness and death could care less about who you are, what you possess, or the position you hold. What Jairus had in this world meant nothing. You see, death had come knocking. Jairus' only daughter was dying. She had to be, don't you know, she was the apple of his eye. Daddy's girl, his precious one. You know, some people spend their entire lives trying to get a promotion, accumulate wealth, power. But when tragedy comes, those things mean absolutely nothing. What you think matters now will cease to matter then. Jairus knew where to go for help in his time and need. Somehow, somewhere, Jairus had heard about Jesus, and he knew that he was his only hope. And now, at this very moment, his daughter is dying. Isn't it amazing that Jesus just happened to be passing through town? Coincidence? No, I believe it was God's divine plan that allowed the path of Jesus and Jairus to cross. It reminds me back a couple of chapters ago when we were talking about Jesus going to that little out-of-the-way town called Nain, and just happened to be there as the procession was passing by. Isn't that amazing? Coincidence? Absolutely not. God has a plan. Notice how this ruler of the synagogue, this man of position and power, how he came to Jesus. He came reverently, he came prayerfully, he came compassionately, and the Bible says that he fell at his feet. Verse 41, you see it right there. He fell at his feet. And quite interesting, I don't know if you noticed it, but also with the woman in verse 47, it said that she fell at Jesus' feet. Jairus humbled himself in the presence of the Lord. This is something that some people never learn. We must humble ourselves in his presence and come to the place where we acknowledge him as being everything and that we are nothing. When we come to the place where we see our inability and his ability, then we are in a position to receive what we need from him. Paul understood this in Ephesians 4, verse 2. He says, be completely humble and gentle. James understood this in James 4:10. He said, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Peter also understood this in 1 Peter 5:6. He said, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. When Jairus comes to Jesus, he falls down before him. We're told that he pleaded with him to come to his house. He was saying, what no one else can do, I believe you can. Don't you know that all the help that was available at that time had been called in for his daughter? All means, because he had the ability to do that. Money was no object with him, but none of it could help. But he came saying to Jesus, what no one else can do, I believe you can. What a statement of faith. Friends, that's the place we have got to get in life. Whether it be in regards to our salvation or the salvation of a loved one or for help in a time of tragedy, we've got to reach the place where we know that we can't, but he can. There's some folks here today in the crowd that's here that have been trying to fight your battles in your own power for too long. Let me encourage you to turn to Jesus. Whatever that battle might be, whatever that problem might be, hand it to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't fight these battles any longer, but I know that you can. That's coming to a point of absolute surrender. It's coming to a point of faith. When Jairus shares his story with Jesus, Jesus is touched by his need, and he goes with him to his house. What a blessed truth this is that we find here. When you bring your need to Jesus, he hears you and he's touched by it, and he cares. Peter said, cast your anxiety upon him because what? He cares for you. He loves you, and he cares for you. In the midst of all of this, we have an interruption as Jesus goes with Jairus. They are stopped by the woman with the issue of blood. I had a professor one time that called this passage a miracle within a miracle. Can you imagine what it was like for Jairus? There was the crowd, number one, slowing things down. And then all of a sudden, this woman comes into play. And don't you know that he was concerned about getting to his daughter? You know, some of you have called an ambulance before, haven't you? What might be actually just 3 or 4 minutes waiting on that ambulance can seem like an eternity. It can't get there fast enough. In Jairus' mind, there was no way that Jesus could get to his house fast enough. Was he impatient? Was he pulling on the Lord, trying to hurry him along? He must have been confused why Jesus would stop and deal with this issue when his daughter was dying. But it's quite amazing that none of the writers within the Gospels share anything about him saying anything whatsoever about being delayed. He merely stands there and waits upon Jesus until he is free and they can continue to the house. This is a response of faith. He had placed it all in the Lord's hands. The problem, the tragedy, he left it there. What a lesson for us. During the time of delay, a servant of Jairus comes with the tragic words. Verse 49, your daughter is dead. Only a few of you can imagine how Jairus felt at that moment. Your children aren't supposed to die before you. You know, that's just the way things are. I wonder if he said in his heart, if it hadn't have been for this crowd slowed us down. If it hadn't have been for this woman, if we hadn't have stopped, my daughter would still be alive. She's dead. There's no hope. My, how we are shaken by news like that. My mind goes to Mary and Martha. If you remember, Jesus was on his way, sort of took his time getting there. Lazarus had already died. And Mary and Martha both questioned the Lord concerning his timing in the death of Lazarus. And Jesus said to them, Martha said to Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Questioning the Lord's timing. You know, when it seems that God is moving slow, don't give up. Because while God is seldom early, he's never late. Of course, what we see as a delay really is God moving at just the right time. So a tragic situation has been transformed into an impossible situation. The girl is no longer sick. Now she's dead. Even at this tragic moment, it's interesting to see how faith reacts. Jairus has placed his faith in Jesus. Even in the face of death, his faith does not waver. Jesus said to Jairus in verse 50, be not afraid, just believe, and she will be healed. What faith? You know, as I pray in the morning, as I pray at the dinner table, the breakfast table, the supper table. Every time I pray, I pray for two things in particular. I pray for wisdom because God was pleased when Solomon asked for wisdom. And I pray that God might increase my faith, just as the disciples asked of Jesus. Increase my faith and give me wisdom. Jesus said, do not be afraid, just believe. Well, word has come that she's dead. Let me tell you something. They laughed. They laughed. Because if you've ever seen death, there's no question. I've been with people when they've died. And there's no question about death. They laugh. And here Jesus is saying, be not afraid. Just believe she will be healed. What a word of faith. Jesus is saying to him, don't believe what you hear. Don't believe what you know. Don't believe what you see. Just trust me. And he's saying that to you today, perhaps. I don't know what situation you're facing. As I look around, I know some of them. Put your trust and faith in the Lord. It's what faith says to you today. Everyone might say, it's hopeless. But faith looks to a God who is greater than anything that we can hear, know, or see. Why? What's our verse of scripture? For nothing is impossible with God. Can you say that again? For nothing is impossible with God. Let me tell you something. It's very easy for those words to roll off our tongue. For nothing is impossible with God. Lord, I know that nothing is impossible with you, but increase my faith. Increase my faith. Bring your need to Jesus. Leave it in his hands by faith and trust in him. He will work it out in his time and in his way. By the way, he may not work it out the way you want him to. The question is, are you willing to let him do it his way? Oh, there's been times in my life when I've prayed for things. And I've been disappointed. Because the way in which I prayed was not the outcome. But you know, I discovered, I'm thinking of one particular instance in my mind right now. I discovered a year or so later, I just said, thank you, God, for doing it your way. Thank you for not answering my prayer the way I prayed it. The question is, are you willing to let him do it his way and in his time? Notice here that Jesus put everyone out of the house except those who believed. Who was there? The mother, the father, Peter, James, John, and Jesus. He excluded those who didn't have the faith. Who didn't believe. Things haven't changed. Faith believes the incredible, sees the invisible, and receives the impossible. Unbelief receives nothing from the hand of God. When Jesus entered the room where the dead girl was lying, he took her by the hand, and verse 54 tells us that he said, arise. And she did. Aren't you glad that Jesus has power over death? We think back, like I said, a few Sundays back when we had the widow's son at Nain, power over death. With Lazarus, power over death. Here with Jairus' daughter, power over death. In the tomb, it's empty. Power over death. There's victory there. And we will share in that victory. When those in the room saw what Jesus had done, the Bible says that they were astonished and amazed. They couldn't believe what had happened. Wow. Faith. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Friends, He's waiting for you to do that same thing in your life today. He's waiting for you to bring your impossible situation to Him and leave it with Him by faith and trust Him to deal with it in His time and in His way. You know, there's folks that it's wonderful to have trust in people. And there's times when I have problems that arise, you know, I've got people that I can call. I have found some wonderful people. I've got me a painter. I've got me a man that can do just about anything around the house. And I trust them. And when I call them up, I say, I've got another problem. I even told one of them, I just need to put you on full time. And I know that when he comes, he's going to take care of the situation. I don't have any anxiety at all. Our faith needs to be in the Lord. And we need to understand that whatever life might throw our way, that we can bring it to him by faith and say, I can't handle this. I've done my best. I can't handle it. I'm placing it in your hands. Why not get the peace and the comfort and the help that you need? Do you need help with a problem? Turn it over to Jesus. Do you need healing for sickness or a broken heart? Turn it over to Jesus. Is there a need in your life for salvation? Repent of your sins. Place your faith in Jesus. Jesus is our sovereign Lord, and he can take an impossible situation and turn it into a miracle by his power and for his glory. Are you ready to do so today by faith? Your doctors might be perplexed. Turn it over to Jesus. You might have tried everything you know to try. Turn it over to Jesus. Lord, increase our faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truths of your word. We thank you, Lord, for your power that we read of, Lord, and the testimonies that are shared. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today. Life brings us issues. In this world, we are told that there will be trouble. So often, Lord, we try to handle things, but there might be those today here, Lord, that are at their wits' end. I pray that the truth of your word has penetrated their hearts, and I pray that today, Lord, that they might acknowledge you as the sovereign God. They might acknowledge you by faith, turning their anxieties and their problems over to you. And Lord, I pray that we might wait expectantly to see your hand at work. Whatever the situation might be, Lord, we know that with Jairus, he came and fell at the feet of Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, Lord, we know she came and fell at the feet of Jesus. Lord, there might be those this morning that need to come and kneel here at the altar and just give their situation, their trouble, their problems to you by faith, trusting in you. Lord, I pray your Spirit might have a freedom to work within our lives today. Give us the boldness to respond. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ever how the Lord might be leading you today, I invite you to respond as we stand and as we sing. Problem in your life that you're dealing with that you want to just give to the Lord, would you lift up your hand? All over here. My hand's up. Some of you know our situation, and hands are up everywhere. Let me pray for you, okay? Our Father, I pray you've seen these hands lifted up. Lord, I pray that our faith might be in you, that we might cast our anxiety and our problems, our concerns, and just place them in your hands, Lord, because we are told that you love us, that you care for us, that we're your children. Our faith is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you're a deacon that is serving this morning, I invite you to come forward at this time. This morning I want to read from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning with verse 12. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house, he enters. The teacher asks, 'Where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He'll show you a large upper room, finished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, surely not I. It is one of the 12, he replied, one who dips bread in the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It'd be better for him if he had not been born. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. He said to them, I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This gift thanks for the elements. Would you bow with me? Father, we're thankful for your love, your grace, your mercy, forgiveness. We thank you for your plan of salvation. We thank you for coming in Jesus and showing your love as you willingly gave of your life, that we might have life. Lord, we thank you for the giving of your body, the shedding of your blood. Lord, we know that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Lord, we see you as the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. Lord, I pray that we might acknowledge your love, that our faith might be strengthened, and that we might seek to live a life that glorifies you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Thank you. The scripture says in Hebrews 10, 10 and 14, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The book of Ephesians, I read, first chapter, 7th verse, second chapter, 8th verse. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it's a gift of God. Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. I invite you to stand at this time, and we read in the scripture that they sang a hymn and then they went out to the Mount of Olives. I only wish that I could sing a hymn and go out to the Mount of Olives this morning. We're going to close with this marvelous testimony. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. As you go, live a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.